Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you so much for listening to the program and joining us every Sunday from 7 a.m., 7 p.m., as well as 1 a.m. Monday mornings. We do stream the live at richarddugan.com. We also archive the programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. And we also link to our guests. We're going to give you the website for our guest here in a little bit. And I'm really looking forward to our chat today. I think that maybe you like the show. I don't know. I certainly hope that you do. We're going to be talking, and the reason I put it that way is because the title of this gal's book is The Gift of Maybe. So, you know, maybe you like it, maybe you won't. I don't know if that's real wishy-washy. We're going to find out. Basically, it's finding hope and possibilities in uncertain times. And, of course, the old Chinese proverb, may you live in uncertain times. I think that's the, I paraphrase, that's the saying. And let me tell you, we do, both on a material plane, as when you take a look at all of the institutions, political, economic, religious, educational, whatever one you want to list, we're living in interesting times. But even on a spiritual and metaphysical level, we are living in quite interesting times. And we're here to share our time today with the author, Allison Carman. And I thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Richard, thank you for having me.
This is, it's an interesting title, and obviously it helps people get their attention. A Simply Yet Powerful Guide to Coping with the Stress and Worry of Everyday Life. It would be nice if we didn't have to cope, but some of us cope better than others, worse than others, etc. And I find also, this is, I think, quite wonderful, that you dedicated your book to your parents, whose love and devotion sustained you and on your journey to maybe. Now, this actually is interesting. It ties into another saying that I've kind of lived by probably since I was in my teens or early 20s, that it is best to begin in doubt and end in certainty than to begin in certainty and end in doubt. And to me, maybe is there's a certain element of uncertainty in the word maybe. Why would maybe, as opposed to yes or no, absolutely, positively, in either direction, be a gift?
Well, I think the greatest form of our suffering is that we need to know. We need to know what's going to happen next in our lives. And if we don't know, many of us project it's going to be bad or things aren't going to work out. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people. This need to know is really where the suffering begins. Because if you're okay with the unknown, see, when you think you need to know, you're going to tell a story about what's going to happen next. And so we project, we suffer, and we forget that life has uncertainty in it. But that's where all the joy is. And that's where all the possibilities are. If you could kind of sit back and give up that need to know, you're going to give up a tremendous amount of suffering in your life because of all those stories about what today means for tomorrow, they're going to leave.
You know,
and you're going to come back into the moment and you're going to be more comfortable.
It's funny too, because the way you phrase that, giving up the need to know, giving up that the suffering. And yet I have been told, because I'm always asking questions, I mean, from a very young age, that, you know, someone said to me, you know, why don't you need to give up the need to know, because leave those questions for maybe the hereafter, you know, just enjoy the ride, you know, just let life take you, let the universe guide you through your life. And don't worry about knowing this or that or the other. All of that stuff is it's a waste of time. But that's not what you're saying here. That's really not the focus that you're bringing forth here.
No, and you know, it's interesting. If you go up to somebody who's afraid of uncertainty and you say to them, hey, just be positive. Don't worry that you think you might lose your job. Don't worry that your child's struggling. Everything's mm-hmm. going to be okay. It's almost impossible for people who struggle with uncertainty to stay positive. If you think about it, you wake up in the morning and you're like, I'm going to have a great day today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to land this client. My boss is going to love the work that I did on this project, and my child's going to make the school play. And let's say as the day goes on, you don't land the client, your boss didn't like the project, your child didn't make the play. All of a sudden, if you're afraid of the unknown, you're going to start writing stories. I didn't get that client. I'm never getting another client. Life's not working out. My boss is going to fire me. My child will never make the play. They're going to be miserable. So all these negative thoughts are going to start coming up. So then all of a sudden you can't stay positive anymore because the negative is going to beat it down. So it's very hard to tell people just to stay positive. And that's why I created this idea of maybe, because what maybe does, it allows you, if you're afraid of the unknown, it gives you hope within the unknown. It allows you to sit in the unknown with hope and possibility. And I, you know, I'll explain the philosophy as we speak on, but that's what it does. It allows people who are afraid to find hope and possibility and settle into what they don't know. But what you're talking about also is that you're talking about that I'm not sure if you have a need to know or you have a curiosity. There's nothing wrong with curiosity. It's that we get very rigid. We need to know because we're afraid. That's a difference between needing to know because you're curious. Mm-hmm. One, curiosity causes an expansion, creates possibilities. The need to know from fear creates suffering.
Well, I think that's probably the latter, that I'm curious more than anything else, because I've always been an optimistic person. As a matter of fact, when I've had people come in to whatever station or whatever business I'm working for, and they've asked me a question of a service-oriented nature, I do everything that I can not to say no. I will say, let me look into that. Let me see what we can do. Because when you say no, and then you have to backtrack, not only is it a little embarrassing, but it wastes time and energy. And I'm always the type of person who wants to help to solve someone's problems or what have you. I produce audiobooks as well for people, and they'll come to me and they'll ask me all of these different questions about it. I'll say, look, just relax. We'll take it step by step. I'll help you through this, and it'll be good. And we'll have a good time doing it. Now, do we run into problems along the way? Yeah, sometimes. I did one project many years ago. It was a $1,500 project. The lady hated it, absolutely hated it. So I said, okay, now we're going to do it my way, because she was the one directing the first time around. Did it my way. She loved it, came back for another project, you know, and it worked out just fine. But I had to go through that process, the struggle, the strife, the even the worry, like, oh, my God, she wants her money back. Where am I going to come up with $1,500? But that precipitated the thought process of, wait a minute, I can make this work. I can make this good. I can make her.
You sound like you're addicted to certainty. You sound like you're more of a natural maybe thinker.
I think so. And I've, you know, and I think that this kind of ties in, I think, a little bit. What really frustrates me when I listen to the news, for example, especially economic news, at the end of a month, at the end of a quarter, at the end of a year, and they start talking about the numbers. And if the numbers are down, well, yeah, people aren't happy. When the numbers are up, they're still not happy. And so my question is, what numbers would make you happy? And that's always been a juxtaposition for me is, you know, I hear people, I have a very dear friend. He's been my best friend since grade school. And we went through grade school, high school, and college together. And a few years ago, he lost his mother. He lost his house. And he was living out, and lost his job. And he was living out of his car. Called me asking for help. And I offered him some help in more counsel than anything else. And he went to his network there of the people that he knew, and they helped him. They helped him to get back on his feet. I saw him when I was back in Phoenix, and he's working, and he's doing great, and he's got a wonderful partner and a great love life. And he lifted himself back up from his bootstraps. And I knew that he was that kind of person. But he still had to go through that adversity. He still had to go through the struggles, you know. And I hope—
people, if you're not an open mind, if you don't have an open mind, if you're not a positive thinker, mm-hmm. if life has showed you a very dark side, mm-hmm. it's hard for people because they're afraid that it's never going to change. That's where the fear of the unknown happens.
Yeah.
It's the fear that this is happening to me today and it can never get better. Things can never improve. Or there are other people who actually are okay with what's going on today, but they're afraid that they can't hold on to it later. And that's the way people live. And I remember there was this great philosopher, Krishnamurti, and he said, you know why I'm happy? I'm happy because I don't mind what happens. So if people who could have that mindset, that's great. If you mm-hmm. don't mind what happens, you'll always kind of be open and flowing with life. But many of us mind. We mind that we have money to pay our mortgage. We mind that we don't lose our job. We mind that our kids are well. So once you get hooked into minding what happens, you're going to start getting addicted to certainty because you're going to want to make sure that you're safe. Because deep down, the reason why we're addicted to certainty is because we're afraid we're not okay. And so that's where the whole kind of game begins, and this whole fear and this whole worry about what's going to happen next in our lives.
Now, is this predominantly in industrialized, developed, first world, if you will, westernized countries that people are dealing with this kind of stress, that this philosophy will really help? Or is this pretty much globally 7.5 billion people? They're dealing with the same kind of thing, and this philosophy, this, as you say, maybe philosophy, would certainly benefit them.
You know, it's interesting. I had a nice following on Facebook for many years, and somebody must have sent one of my posts to somebody in Egypt, and it was during the uprising there when they were rebelling against the government. I became more popular in Egypt than any other place around the world. Mm-hmm. And today, still, my Facebook page is a little slanted there because they were afraid. They were afraid. And listen, it's not an underdeveloped country, but they were, you know, halfway across the world, and the government was falling, and these people had families and they had kids and they had jobs. So it, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, you're going to get stuck. If you have faith, you won't. But if you don't have faith, you're going to get stuck about whether you're going to have a home, whether you're going to have food. I mean, it depends, you know, what point you are in your life and what kind of economically how you're doing. But it doesn't matter. We all get stuck in this place because we want to feel safe. I can't imagine there's anybody in the world that does not want to feel safe and make sure that they're okay, their kids are okay, the economy's okay, their government's okay. So I think it's across the board, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, if you're addicted to certainty, you're going to suffer.
Yeah. And of course, our society tends to foster that and enable that need for certainty because, you know, we want things to last. We want things to be comfortable, as you say, you know, be safe and warm and fed and clothed and employed, you know, and housed. And there are always seems to be something that gets in the way of those things.
But we forget, though, that even though life changes, it doesn't mean that it's going to be bad. It doesn't mean like your friend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he fell on hard times, but look, it did eventually change. And sometimes, yes, we need to go through that. And sometimes we need to learn a lesson, or sometimes something just happens in life and we have to figure out a way to get through it. But while we're going through it, we're writing all these stories. We're so afraid that it's not going to change. That's why we live with all the stress and worry, because we can't see beyond what's in front of us. And we just feel like if we knew, it would be better. But what's happening in reality is that because we want to know, that's why we're really suffering. Because often, you know, if you would just stay in the moment that you're in, it's not so bad. It's what you think is going to happen next that's usually causing most of the suffering.
Yeah, yeah. It's that fear of the unknown. And I'm dealing, too, with people who are, you know, even though they're even dealing with the uncertainties of this life, they're really concerned about the uncertainties of the next life. Right. In that, not only the uncertainties of the next life, but the uncertainties of whether or not there is a next life. In other words, when this is over, when my physical body shuts down, is it just going to go fade to black, or is there something else? And of course, nobody knows for certain. I think we're going to overuse that word in the interview, but appropriately so. But nobody knows for certain. Just because it's written in a book, doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen. Because the people who wrote the book, they didn't know until they went, and they can't come back and tell us.
Hey, you know what's interesting? I usually don't speak about this in the realm of maybe, but my relationship with this philosophy actually changed my relationship to death.
Really?
Because if you think about it, we all know that one day we will leave this earth.
And that's a certainty.
And that's a certainty. But maybe there's something else. We don't know for sure there's not. See, that's what maybe does. Maybe allows you to see something other than the thing you fear the most, or it allows you to see more than one possibility. So I don't know. I always know if I don't know, that means there's more than one possibility. And so maybe allowed me to see, do I know for certain that there's nothing after this life? No, I don't know for certain. If I don't know for certain, then there has to be another possibility. And that's the maybe. So maybe takes us from this little cramped place in our head where we are so damn sure that we're doomed, that we're stuck, we're not safe, or when we die, there's nothing else. And it expands us to this place where we realize We don't know. And within not knowing, there's a lot of possibilities and there's a lot of hope. So within this thing, I was just dealing with maybe in my daily life. But when it hit my fear of dying, I realized I don't know. And if I don't know, maybe there is something else. And that's all I need to do because I can't figure the rest out. That's beautiful about maybe too. I don't need to figure it all out. As long as I know there's hope and possibility in every moment that I breathe and every moment after I'm done breathing, then I'm okay. And I live with that. So it's interesting. I don't really talk about that much, but maybe has shifted in my relationship with death.
Well, and of course, one of the other uncertainties is our economic well-being. We could continue on talking about a death. And from my perspective, this is, again, my belief. It's still an uncertainty because I don't know. But my belief is that there is something after this because logic, at least my logic, dictates that it doesn't make any sense that we go through this life in the way that we do. I can only take a look at my life and the experiences that I've had, the people that I've come in contact with, the things that I've learned, and so forth. And there's nothing after. What is the point of this life if there's nothing after it? So I choose to accept that there's a reason why we're here, and then there's going to be a little bit more of an explanation later on down the road. And that's just me. That's just my belief system. Yeah. But then there's another element of our existence in this life, and that is the whole economic or monetary thing. You know, we talked about that before in terms of being employed, having enough money for this and that and the other thing. And the uncertainty of going, you know, most people are living, as they say, from paycheck to paycheck. And I've been there, and from time to time still that still happens. And yet the only way that I have been able to sort of look at it from a different perspective is to say, well, wait a minute, here I am. Today, I'm here. And I look back at the last 10 months, 20 months, 30 months, however many, that I've gone through the same cycle, and I'm still here. And I'm still alive, and I still have a place to live and clothes to wear and food to eat and a car to drive and a job to go to. So why am I projecting the fear into the future that it's going to come to an end? And this is what you're talking about in a big way is... Again, it's that uncertain. In spite of, I can look back in the past to the quote-unquote certainty that I made it from month to month. I live today, but yet there's that uncertainty of, yeah, but I don't know about tomorrow.
Yeah, but you're not addicted. See, when you're addicted, It doesn't matter. When you're addicted to certainty, when you feel so scared that you're not okay, you could look at every story from the past. And it's not going to give you ground. It's not going to give you ground because you're so afraid that anything you don't know is going to be bad or it's going to be doomed or you're going to lose this thing that you love so much. I mean, think about it. Even children. I mean, you have a child and, the Buddha said, all desire leads to attachment. All attachment leads to suffering. So on some level, I've never met a parent that's not attached to their child. So on some level, where as parents, we're all going to suffer. But if you look a little closer to the relationship, it's not really our attachment that causes suffering. It's our need for certainty. It's our need to know that our child's okay. So if we're just, once you need something to be a certain way, you're going to suffer if you're not able to let it go or at least loosen the hold. That's the beautiful thing about maybe. It allows you to look at life with just a gentler hold on things. Like you sound like somebody who's kind of like a person of faith in a way. You're kind of like okay with whatever happens. You see the ebb and flow of life. Mm-hmm. But those of us who don't have that, we have nothing to hold on to. And what's so beautiful about maybe, it takes you from this place where you're so afraid and allows you to hang out in the unknown, where all the people who have faith are able to hang out. So as life goes on, you're able to cultivate more faith, cultivate more relationship with the universe because you're allowing yourself with this practice to hang out in uncertainty. So it really shifts everything.
What was the, or even were, the event or events that became the catalyst for this philosophy for you?
Well, like I said in the beginning, when you're addicted to certainty, you need to know what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know, you're going to project it's bad or it's not going to work out. And I live most of my life like that. And what I did and what most people do is the minute you're uncomfortable with uncertainty, you start to write stories about what needs to happen to be okay. Now, some people could write the story, I'm going to have this job till I retire, or I'm going to have this amount of money in the bank when I'm 50, or my child will go to this college and everything's going to work out. And we hold these stories very close to our heart, believing that we're okay because this is what's going to happen in life. And then, of course, the unexpected happens. You lose the job. You don't have the money. Your child didn't get into that college. And then we start to spin out of control. Life's not working out as planned. Things are bad. They're never going to get better. So for me, I was a great story writer. And I wrote this great story for my life that I was going to grow up, become an attorney at a very large law firm, make a ton of money, marry this great guy, and I would have no more problems, no more uncertainty. Now, it sounds like a very childish thought, but I believe that. I believe that, and that's what made me feel better. And I did all those things. I married this great guy. I became a lawyer. I got a job at a really large law firm overlooking Central Park. And I remember actually walking to work my first day thinking, hey, I've arrived. Everything is wonderful. Mm-hmm. But then second day of work, my office mate came in and said, hey, Allison, did you hear they're firing half the first years? And I was a first year. And all of a sudden, I realized I will never have certainty in my life. I banked on this job. I banked this was going to save me. And within 2 days, all of a sudden, my job was at risk. And after 6 months, they didn't fire me, but it didn't matter. I could never get a hold of another story again. Life had uncertainty. Things are bad. I started not sleeping. I didn't feel comfortable. I started to feel sick. And I went on like this for a very long time, just struggling with the uncertainty of life. Until one day, I heard this beautiful story from a Taoist teacher of mine. And it's about a farmer. And he had a horse, and his horse ran away. And his neighbor came by and said, you have the worst luck. And the farmer said, maybe. And the next day, the horse came back with 5 mares. And the neighbor came to the farmer and said, you have the best luck. And the farmer says, maybe. And the next day, the farmer's son is on the horse. He falls off and breaks his leg. The neighbor comes by and says, you have the worst luck. And the farmer says, maybe. And the next day, the army comes to take the farmer's son to war, but they can't take him because his leg is broken. And the neighbor comes by and says, you have the best luck. And the farmer says, maybe. And in the Taoist tradition, the story means things are neither good or bad. They just change. But for me, probably because I'm from the West, the minute I heard that story, I actually felt a pop in my chest. And I recognized that I always thought when things change, things are bad. And I forgot that as things change, new things happen too. So I went home that day. I had left the law. I was doing business consulting. I was practicing some law on my own. And I realized that I didn't have enough clients, but maybe that was okay. Maybe new clients would come. Maybe there was a reason for this. Maybe my thoughts aren't true. Maybe everything is still okay. And it sounds so simple because all I'm saying is the word maybe. But again, that word brought me from this really cramped place in my head where I believed I was doomed. I believed things weren't working out to this really expansive place where I recognized not knowing is good. Not knowing means I got possibilities. Not knowing means my life's going to change. I have hope. I have possibility. And it changed everything for me. It helped me with my stress, my worry. I became more present, more creative. It's just this philosophy that the minute you start to embrace it, it's a game changer.
Wow. You brought flooding back to my mind a period of time where the space of about, 2 or 3 years, I had some major changes. I went through a divorce, very tumultuous divorce back in Arizona, which should not have been based upon the material assets. All we had was a house, and yet her attorney was dragging us through a 9-month process that cost me like $3,600. Then I went to work for a radio station. That 2 months after I was hired full time, they started cutting the staff. And I went through that same thing going, yeah, I'm going to be let go. I made the cut twice. Then in March of the following year, they let me go. 2 weeks later, they call me back and put me under contract labor to run the radio station. Then the station was bought by somebody else. And I thought, man, they're going to clear the house. And they didn't. They kept me on. And so on and so on. And then it wasn't until 2005 that the station was bought again. And they said, oh, no, everybody's staying. But I knew, because I was familiar with these people, that they were lying and that we were all doomed. They were not going to keep us on, you know. And so I lost my job February of 2006. Then my wife and I came to Santa Barbara to check out some possibilities, put the house on the market. We sold the house in May of 2006. Missed the downturn in Arizona by, I couldn't believe this, 2 weeks. Two weeks. And we came here And again, just it's like you say, what you're talking about, it's again, not me, but others would view all of that saying, yeah, but it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And I got to tell you, during 2000, the year of 2000, I was laid off. Kid you not. I was laid off four times in 1 year. The first two times I went and applied for unemployment insurance. And by the time I was ready to get my first check, I had found the next job, right? Mm-hmm. So the third time that I lost my job, I said, I'm not going to bother because I'll find another job in a couple of weeks. And I did. It was just an amazing period of time. But again, you're talking about people who are really, they take those experiences and that could literally cause them to spiral downward.
Absolutely. And imagine like the day you lost your job, if we could say, well, maybe it's good. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's good. And the fact that the market fell 2 weeks after you sold your house, that's incredible. But what happens, people suffer so much through the experience. So some of this philosophy, it's not just about what's going to happen. It's about your daily quality of life. Mm. Because at that moment when you lost your job, if you could have said, well, maybe this is good. Maybe there's something else out there for me. Maybe I'll figure it out. Maybe I'm still okay. That kind of philosophy, or someone like you who just has positive thinking and a great mindset, is going to allow us to show up in the moment with more grace, with more openness, with less suffering. And most likely we're going to find our way and it's going to be easier. But imagine if we could just cut the suffering part out. To me, that's the thing that gets me the most. When I start to suffer, when I start to get a little tight in my neck, when I start to get a little negative, I realize I am out of maybe. I am out of maybe. I have a choice. I have a choice that I could flirt with what's happening now with a lot of pain, or I could open up and stay in maybe and hang out in the unknown and make the best of every moment of my life. So that's the catch. And if you could do that during the worst of times, you're going to suffer less and most likely more find your way in an easier path.
Allison Carman is my guest. The website is AllisonCarman.com. That's AllisonCarmen.com. It's The Gift of Maybe. You're listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and maybe we'll be back.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Well, we're back. Not maybe. We definitely came back after the break, and we're here talking with Allison Carman. She has the book, The Gift of Maybe, Finding Hope and Possibility in Uncertain Times. And certainly, as I said, we're going to overuse that word here in the program today. We are certainly, it is a certainty that we are in uncertain times. How about that for a paradox? This is, I think, a great tool for people to use, and it doesn't take a lot of work. You don't have to spend a lot of time doing anything. Just bring it up. Well, maybe things will get better. Maybe they won't. But I think that I have to say that for those who do get stuck, boy, that is, it's really hard on the body. You talked about it when you start to feel tight in your neck and so forth. I mean, the physical body, the mental and emotional body starts to just really seize up. And boy, it is no question very easy to get stuck in these kinds of situations. And like I said before we went to break, spiral downward. I'm curious as to the folks that you come in contact with now that you're promoting this and encouraging people to utilize this this philosophy of maybe. What are some of the reactions? And I'm curious more so, not so much of the positives. Hey, this is great, Allison. Thank you so much. This is fabulous. Yeah. But, Allison, it doesn't work. I tried it and it just doesn't work. My life is just not getting better. There's no maybe about it.
I'm going to tell you an interesting story. Originally, I self-published my book. Eventually, Penguin Random House bought the book, but originally I self-published it. And when I self-published the book, I used to give it out to everybody. I had copies in my pocketbook, and I knew a fellow who had just lost his wife, and I gave him my book, and I said, I really think this book is going to help you. He came back to me 2 weeks later and said, Allison, I hated your book. He goes, my wife just died. He goes, I don't have maybe. He goes, I'm miserable, and my life's never going to get better. And for a while, I walked around saying, wow, I really thought this philosophy, if you have breath, you have maybe, would help anybody, because I always say, There's always something else to experience in the moment, even if it's not what you expected. But this fellow told me he hated my book. So I walked around with that for a long time. 2 years later, he came up to me and said, Allison, I want to thank you for giving me your book. He goes, I was grieving when you gave me my book. He goes, I couldn't see past anything. I was just sad and I was desperate and I felt horrible. He says, but 6 months later, I woke up and I realized I'm still here. What else is possible in my life? Maybe there's something else. And today he has a girlfriend and maybe doesn't say he's happier with his girlfriend than he was his wife. All maybe says is, here you are. Maybe there's something left. Maybe there's something still possible. So for me, that kind of sealed it for me to make me see that every moment has maybe. And I've also had people with sick children come to me and say to me, Allison, positive thinking doesn't work for me because I'm so scared that my child's not going to get better. I'm so worried. Every time I get positive, the minute they have a setback, I get negative again. But maybe allows me to stay in the moment and say, okay, maybe things will change. Maybe this medicine or on will work. Maybe there's something we could do in this moment to enjoy life as it is happening. And it's been very profound for me to have these people come to me because when I wrote the book, a lot of the stories I wrote were more about business, love. They weren't really about illness and death. So for me, I'm writing the book. People have come to me with more expanded view of it. So it's been quite incredible.
You know, I find it so exciting to consider. Again, you open up the possibilities for people. I mean, that's what maybe does. Is it? It says that there's still a possibility. That hope that you talk about.
Yeah, there's hope. And if you think about it, if you want your life to change, it has to happen in the unknown. We're turning our back on the only place that guarantees us change, right? Mm-hmm. So really, if you're going through a hard time, uncertainty is your best friend because that's where new possibilities are. That's where new opportunities lie. That's where all the goodies are. So it's really the worst of times. That's the moment where letting go or just embracing maybe and realizing, thank God I don't know. Because the fact that I don't know means there's a possibility that my situation is going to change and maybe it's going to get better.
Yeah. When we start this process of incorporating maybe, and again, it's quite easy to do. There's not a lot of preparation. You can say maybe it'll get better, maybe it'll get worse. I don't know, and just sort of open up. I'm curious though. If you have been able to touch base with folks or even in your own experience, speaking firsthand, how this has helped you on a deeper level, on a more spiritual level, even on an energetic level, when you, maybe you've been stuck or others have been stuck and they start this, what's happening to them? Are you able to get any information in that regards as not so much their physiology, although that's certainly profound as well, but maybe their mental and even their spiritual states.
I think that you're saying that being in a state of maybe, how does it affect you on other levels?
Yeah.
Well, for me, it's changed everything because when I'm in maybe, I'm not thinking. When I'm in maybe, the projection ends. And when the projection ends, the chatter in my mind ends, and I become very present. And I become very present, I become very calm, I become very centered. And then I'm in life in a different way. I'm living in the moment. So for me, it's become a spiritual practice because for a long time, I could not meditate. I meditate now, but I could not stop the chatter. The fear and the worry was so great that no matter what I did, I couldn't stop my mind. And this little word, again, takes me from this cramped place where I'm afraid and I'm worried and I can't shut my mind off to this open place where I'm just more at ease with life. And so for me, it's helped me emotionally, it's helped me spiritually, and it's helped me physically. And I've seen the same thing with other people. And what's also been very surprising is that people who have a maybe practice, they actually cultivate faith over time. And I didn't expect that. I didn't expect people who needed maybe to become a person of faith, but the more they hang out in the unknown, the more comfortable they get with it. So then when something happens, they're like, listen, life goes this way. I don't know what's going to happen, and it's probably going to work out, or something else will come up. So they have more ease with life. So I find that it changes people on a lot of different levels. And actually, some people don't even practice maybe anymore. They just have a different relationship with the universe.
Interesting. I'm thinking too that I mean, we believe very strongly on this program in the power of words. And I never really thought about it in this context before, but this particular word, it seems like it's got a lot of power.
It really does.
You know?
It's very interesting. And it's, as you said before, when you introduced me, people think maybe has this wishy-washy tone to it, but it really doesn't. It really opens us up to new possibilities. Yeah, maybe it won't happen. That's how most of us live. So when you allow yourself to say maybe it will, you kind of just add hope to your life. That's all you're doing. Maybe is hope without attachment. And so it's this word that constantly reminds us you're not stuck, you're not doomed. I think it's very magical. I know when I'm living in maybe, more things happen in my life. There's more of an ebb and flow. Opportunities come. It's just this different relationship that you have with life. It's really beautiful. And like you said, it's profound, but it's very simple. It's simple to have a maybe practice every day in your life.
Yeah. In a manner of speaking, it also can sort of be a little on the fun side, because you can start to play with it. I think the more that you work with it, you can even do it with, again, some of the smaller things. You can't control other people. And again, there's an uncertainty when it comes to not only people, but animals. And I have to start maybe using that technique with one of my dogs, who he has got such a free will. He is, some might say he is so disobedient. Well, he's not disobedient. He's doing what he's supposed to do. I just have to figure out what it is, you know. But there are things that I want him to do. Like I want him to stop circling the fireplace and ringing the doorbell. And that's what we call it. And I want to come over and lay down. And he just, you know, it takes him 8 or 10 circles around the fireplace. We have a standalone in the center of the room where we live. And he'll circle it until finally either he gets bored or he says, okay, that's what I'm going to do because I choose to, not because you're telling me to do it kind of thing. And I just have to take that from a different perspective and maybe use that concept of maybe. Well, maybe he'll lie down and maybe he won't. And
maybe it's okay.
And maybe it's okay, yeah.
That eases us into the moment.
Yeah.
Because we start to think everything has to be a certain way. I mean, I remember even the last holiday I sometimes have tension with my sister-in-law. And she comes over with her children, and I spend all this time making this huge meal, this huge holiday, and she always gets mad at me because something's not exactly how she wants it to be, and she cries, and she this, and sure enough, I say, I'm just going to be happy this holiday, and nothing's going to bother me, and all of a sudden, the dynamic happens, and she's crying, and she's upset about this, and all of a sudden, I felt myself getting uptight. Here we go again. And I caught myself and I said, maybe this could be different. Maybe it doesn't have to be this way. Maybe she needs something I'm not giving her. Maybe I'm not loving her the way she needs. I went through every maybe statement as my face was getting really hot. And it really shifted me. It really shifted me. The minute I realized I don't have to play this out the same way every year, I went up to her and I shifted it. I offered her love, and I would not have been able to offer her that had I been in rage and anger. You shouldn't be acting like this. This is the hell. What is she's acting like this? I stopped arguing with it, and I allowed myself another perspective, and it ended up being a beautiful holiday and one of the first holidays that wasn't really upset by this drama, only because I was willing to engage in maybe. And so it's really interesting. Maybe changes our relationships too, because we're so used to saying, oh, I know this person's going to be this way, and I know she's going to say that. And blah, blah. But the minute we say maybe, we show up differently, and we allow something new to happen. So it's very profound. And also, like you said, the little things too, trying a new restaurant, taking a new class. You just say, maybe I could walk a different way. And the minute you allow yourself to say maybe, you're engaging in life on a really different level. Because how long do we want to keep doing everything the same every day? Aren't we here to experience new things, to try new things? So maybe it's also kind of adventurous. It allows you to be curious. It allows you to take chances because it gives you a platform to do all those different things. So it's kind of neat.
It really is. I'm very pleased and excited, of course, always to have folks on the program talking about new ideas, new concepts. And certainly this is something that until I received the call and obviously a copy of the book, did I ever consider this possibility. And I've talked with a lot of folks, and they have different concepts and ideas on how to improve their lives and hopefully the lives of the people around them. And I sometimes wonder if, gee, is this just my lot in life? I know that people will, they'll say that. They'll say that about their lives. My best friend probably could have said that when he was going through this rough time, that this is just my lot in life. There's nothing I can do about it. I just, you know, this is where I'm going to be the rest of my life. As a matter of fact, it was sort of a surrender. This was back when I was in my mid-30s. I was trying to get a driver's license to operate a moped back in Phoenix. Now, I was born legally blind, but I could see the bicycle. And I thought, I can see well enough that I could do a moped, no big deal. DMV, no way. Wouldn't touch it. Would not let me do anything. And so I thought, okay. And this goes to your gift of maybe. I said, you know what? Maybe bicycling in my 60s or 70s isn't going to be a big deal. It's okay. So I surrendered. I let it go. And I just accepted that bicycling, that was going to be my lot in life. And the next thing I knew, I was having a lens implant and getting my driver's license.
There you go. See? And you can never know. You can never know. But, and that's what's so beautiful about life.
But
right?
I have to wonder if this process that you have, this philosophy that you have put together, is sort of a freeing mechanism. It's sort of like you're saying to the universe, I surrender, in a manner of speaking.
You are, but without it, it's hard, because you're surrendering with hope. You're surrendering, saying, okay, I don't know what's going to happen next, but maybe there's something else out there for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're letting go, but at the same time you're letting go, you're staying hopeful and you're staying open to all possibilities. And you could also say, maybe one day this will change. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll invent something. Maybe there'll be a cure. I know I have a lot of people who I work with who have illnesses, and they're saying, well, maybe one day there'll be a cure for this disease. So yes, it's a letting go, but you still get to hold on to the hope. That's what makes it so profound.
Yeah, I used to tell people that I had to wait 35 years, 36 years for technology to catch up.
Yeah.
So that I could then experience what I have. I mean, can you imagine never having driven, and then all of a sudden you find yourself at 9 o'clock on a weekday night driving through LA traffic? And I had that aha moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd been driving a short, some time before that. But here we were, a May evening in 2006. And all of a sudden, I'm looking around at all the cars. I'm following my wife, who's hauling a trailer behind her. And I'm going, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. Not in my wildest dreams, in spite of the fact that I wanted to get that driver's license, even if it was restricted, so I could drive a moped, did I ever think that this was ever going to happen?
Yeah. I always say, thank God we don't know, because it allows all things to stay possible.
And
right?
If we did know, what would be the point of going on with life? It's like, if you know, where's the fun?
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Where's the creativity? Where's the growth? Where's the learning? Where's the opportunity? Where's anything? If we could see that, if we could just see that, our life's going to change.
Yeah.
I always say that gratitude, love, and maybe. You have those three things, you're going to have, the quality of your life is going to shift, and the opportunities in your life are going to shift.
And again, I know that there's still no certainty in this, but I sometimes, when I hear the economic news, especially about the stock market, and let's say it's dropping. I mean, we had some major drops over the decades that it's been in existence. But I point people and I say, why don't you take a graph of the entire existence of the stock market and tell me which direction it's going? And it's always gone up.
Yeah.
So I say, relax. But see, now what I'm doing is I'm trying to point them towards some level of certainty instead of saying, maybe it'll go up, maybe it'll go down, you don't know. Enjoy, you know, I mean.
And also there'll be other opportunities. You know, it's interesting, the 08 crash, is when I started sharing maybe with people. I was not going to share it maybe with anybody. It was my private practice. It was not I'd wake up one day and say, the world needs this. I had clients that were spinning out of control. The market fell. Their businesses weren't doing well. Banks weren't lending. That's where it all started. I went to all my clients. I have an accounting degree, a law degree. I tried to show them, you know, look at your finances, look at the sales, look at the different products. And they just couldn't handle the fact that they couldn't keep doing business the way they were doing it before because the economy had just tanked. And it was only maybe, that gave them hope and gave them resilience for them to see, I don't know what's going to happen, but maybe everything's still going to be okay. So that's the thing with the market. You don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you're going to have to put your money someplace else. Maybe you're going to have to earn your money back. Maybe the market will go up. But life's going to keep changing. And if you stay open enough and you stay aware enough, you'll figure it out. That's really what I tell people. I don't try to say, this is going to be great. I'm saying, you have maybe. Yeah. And with maybe, there'll be more possibilities. And that's because when we sell people one thing, then they're going to start worrying again. They start to get stressed because they're like, oh, it has to go up. It has to be this way. No. Maybe there's going to be something else. And that's when I find people stop the stories and kind of live in uncertainty with more of a flow and more joy and more openness and more opportunity.
We talk about giving people choices and knowledge of those choices to help make their dreams come true. And we define it in the context of a smorgasbord. It's a giant table. And all of these different concepts and ideas are there. We're not saying you got to eat from everything or eat from this end or that end or the middle. We're saying, take what works for you, what resonates for you, and so forth. But the table's always there. The ideas are always there. The concepts are always there. And there may be some ideas that you never thought of before. And I think that maybe opens that door.
Maybe keeps you at the table.
Yeah.
I find people give up too soon. They won't come to the table to see what's there because they're so afraid it can never change. They just want to hide under their covers. So maybe all it does allows you to just go to the table and see what's there.
So
that's what I guess it does.
So in your practice, you've actually come across people who, as you've talked about before, who have gotten stuck and in a strange sort of way, they've become comfortable with that stuckness and the fear and so forth. It's like, well, gee, I know that there could be something else, but I don't even want to risk it. And so I'll stay in my fear and my stuckness and all of that and the stress and the physical angst and other distresses that come along with that rather than consider that it could be better.
Right.
There's no
guarantee. Go ahead. There's no guarantee. No, it's when the pain gets too much. It's when the pain gets too much that I find people come to me. They can't tolerate the pain anymore.
And
they
can't tolerate the
pain of feeling stuck and feeling doomed and feeling like life's never going to change. Or, you know, they see their life and they get through their problems, but it's so painful every episode. There's always something. You know, I think we have this image that one day everything will work out, we'll arrive, and life will be great.
Yeah.
But there's always something. There's always a problem somewhere. And, you know, it's a choice. Do you want to live this life with more openness and more ease and more joy and more grace? Or do you want to keep suffering through it? And my choice was I could not handle the suffering anymore. And that's what brought me, and emotionally, and that's what brought me to maybe. And I think that's what brings a lot of people to maybe, is that they can't keep going on the way they're going.
Well, I'm excited about the fact that you have this available for folks. You didn't keep it to yourself. I have a feeling, I don't think you could. I think that somewhere down the road, it was like that switch, as you say, was flipped. And it's like, no, I got to help other people with this more so than just my clients. And we really do appreciate the fact that you're doing that. Allison Carmen is the website, AllisonCarmen.com. That is the website. The book is entitled The Gift of Maybe, Finding Hope and Possibility in Uncertain Times. And it's a simple yet powerful guide to coping with the stress and worry of everyday life. And I'm wondering also, before we come to the conclusion of our program, I mean, there have been uncertain times throughout our history, but doesn't seem like it's quite to the level that it is these days. I mean, you could look back even to, for example, the crash of 1929. Now I have to be more specific because we're in a new century of 1929. And certainly there was uncertainty, great uncertainty and fear, and to the extent that people were jumping out of windows. But it seems like it's even greater today. And it's amplified, especially by our media, whether it's news and information or social media. And do you see that as a reality in that respect?
I think that the media is really pounding us with all the negativity. I think that if you live through the stock market crash in the 20s, the Cuban Missile Crisis, a famine, anything, I think that people were just as scared as they are today. Mm. But I think today the media is just always talking about the negative, that things are bad, things can't get better. And there are very realistic things that we're facing. We're facing terrorism. We're facing global warming. There are outbreaks of Ebola, the Zika virus. Yes, these are very, very real things. But we forget that things change. And there are new discoveries. Things are always changing, and within change, there's hope and possibility. And we have to remember that. We can't look away. I'm not a believer that you just look away and say, I don't have to deal with that. It's too negative for me. We all have to face it because we all need to find solutions to what's happening. So what maybe is this great practice that you can look at what's happening and say, maybe things will change. Maybe they'll get better. Maybe I can do something. Maybe there's a way to help. And the more we kind of stay in maybe, I think as a society, we're going to worry less. We're going to suffer less. We're going to be less afraid and more willing to find solutions, because we have to. We have to find solutions for the environment. We have to deal with this age of terrorism. We have to deal with these outbreaks. But I think this perspective is going to allow us at least to see everything possible, everything out there in the playing field that we can do to make the change. So we don't have to buy into the negativity if we're willing to stay in maybe.
You know, I don't focus a great deal on the news. Every once in a while, we will tune into Sky News out of the UK and watch that for an hour or two, because it's a different perspective from a different location on the world's events. And they'll throw in a couple of U.S. stories. We watch one program, because I've always enjoyed it, called Sunday Morning on CBS. And they'll do a few things that are news related. But for the most part, I stay away from the news. Not because I'm denying the I want to stay away from the negativity. It's because I acknowledge the fact that mankind has been unkind to itself for millennia. I mean, as long as man has been here, he's been doing all of the things that are in the news today. And I acknowledge that fact, but I don't need to keep feeding my head with it. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you see the difference? I'm not denying that these things are going on. And when I get in the car, for example, in the evening when we head home, my wife will say, did you hear about this and such? Well, no, I was working. I was, so fill me in. Let me, but I think, too, that we do. You talk about the media pounding. But we are also being told that we've got to stay in touch. We've got to keep connected and hear all of this stuff. And I'm thinking, I don't think so. I mean, these things are going to happen whether I know about them or not. And I'm not denying that they're happening. But it's like, should I be pounded by the media that's pounding it, trying to pound it into my head?
Right. Also, too, I mean, the more at peace we are, the more joyful we are. Mm-hmm. The kind of loving we're going to be to the world, and we could, go out there every day. And I think kindness is really important when our actions every day. And that's how we really change the world. We change the world with the daily life that we live. So,
that'd be a nice twist. Instead of action news at 11, it's kindness news at 11.
Well, it's interesting. There have been several people that have tried to start like kindness blogs. I know the HuffPost has, one section, for like good and happy, loving things that happen. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, people are more attracted to hear the bad things that are happening. I'm not sure why, but hopefully, you know, the more we shift into maybe and the more we shift into a more loving, you know, grateful mindset, things can shift on a whole. I can only hope. I can only stay in maybe about all of this.
I hear you. No, I absolutely agree with you. I think that's a great goal. And I think that one day we will, you know, we'll see more of that. I think that there will be a greater appetite, if you will, on the part of the public that saying, okay, all right, maybe we can take that perspective of maybe and say, okay, maybe those kinds of things are going on, but I need to fill my soul with some more uplifting things. Matter of fact, I love a lot of the TED Talks. We have that channel on our on-demand device. And I love listening to some of these stories of innovation that came out of some of this adversity and so forth. As you've talked about how it's sort of when you use maybe, it's you start taking a look at necessity being the mother of invention. Well, when there are challenges and obstacles and struggles and strife, we become rather creative in trying to move in another direction. And maybe is an excellent way, I think, of doing that.
Yep. Certainty makes life dull. We think we want it, but it ends up being the thing we don't take care of in the corner. So yes, uncertainty breeds inventions. It breeds new life. It breeds new hope. And it breeds all the great things that are going to happen in all our lives.
You know, that's very interesting the way you phrase that, because there are times when I wish that my life was a little bit less tumultuous, you know, a little more settled. There's not so much dust flying around. But then when I hear about all of these things that, for example, my wife wants to do this and he wants to do that and he wants to go here and go there and have this happen and have that happen. And it's like, oh, my gosh, I don't know. I don't have the energy for all of that. But then when we start getting into those things, my brain starts to work. Yeah. And it starts to process, okay, well, let's see, how could we make this happen or that happen or the other? And case in point, the trip we took to Phoenix in June to visit my folks, my wife was, she had some extra funds that had come in, a little extra stuff, and she says, I'm going to buy you a new computer. And then my sister calls and says, hey, we're having the family reunion and mom and dad are celebrating, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, let us know if you're going to be here. And first thing that went through my mind was, you know what? I'd be willing to give up the computer right now to make that trip. And that's what we did. You know,
that's cool.
So.
That's cool, yeah. But you were open and willing to play with that, to play with changing it, to play with another possibility.
Yeah.
And if we could do that in life, and you said before we got on the call, it was a beautiful, wonderful trip. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Great stuff. Allison, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program and sharing your philosophy of the gift of maybe, finding hope and possibility in uncertain times. And should you ever find yourself out here in the Santa Barbara area, we'd love to have you in studio to continue our conversation.
I would love that. One day I will show up. I'll call before I come.
Okay. Okay, well, that'll be great. Before we let you go, though, I want to first remind our listeners that the website where you can check out the philosophy of maybe, The Gift of Maybe is the title of the book, and Allison Carman is the website, AllisonCarman.com. So go there. I have three final questions for you. Who is Allison Carman?
Who is Allison Carman? Allison Carman is a person who wakes up every day and prays that I could help one person alleviate their suffering, and I could be joyful, and I could be loving, and I could be grateful, and I could stay in maybe for 24 hours.
That would be great. What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I just want to help people with their daily suffering. I really do. I think that we're taught that certainty is the name of the game. And I think, like I said before, it makes life dull. It makes us not take care of things. It limits us. And it affects every single relationship that we have in our lives. Because if we're afraid of the unknown, we're not going to live our best life. So I hope and pray that this simple philosophy will help people let go and make the most of what they have.
And finally, and I may get the same answer to this question that I've gotten from the last two. What is your life's purpose?
At this point, my life's purpose is to help alleviate human suffering the best that I can. And as well, alleviating my own as well. You know, it goes hand in hand. and that's all I could hope for. And to spread kindness and love every day.
And maybe we'll have you back on the program. I don't want to have certainty, but we would love to. And we look forward to having that opportunity in the near future.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really lovely to be here today.
The book again, The Gift of Maybe. The website again, AllisonCarman.com. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.